The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam Rose. I just need to say one thing about Get Up, which just ended. Damian Woody, the mink coat, fire. And any occasion is perfect to wear that, even with the sweatsuit, wherever you want to go.
What mink coat? What the hell are you talking about? Damian Woody had on a mink coat?
I was just watching the end of Get Up, and Damian Woody had on a red mink coat. And, you know, Greeny was asking, when do you wear that type of thing? And I say, you wear a mink with anything. He was up there looking like Biggie. It was pretty solid. Yeah, Stephen A., you would be into it.
Let's just say this.
I'll get you a shot of that.
Damian Woody's got a couple of Super Bowl rings, signed Max, a huge contract, has kids in some of the top universities in the world. He could wear a mink wherever he wants.
All right, Max. I got your point.
He's living Biggie's his best one life.
Biggie's one of the greatest ever. You know that, Max. His looks was not the exact thing he was, you know, raved
about. Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, when you say he looked like Biggie.
Stephen A.
I'm just saying.
All right.
By the way, he sounds like him, too.
Let's get back to football. He does, right? Oh, my goodness. All right, we could do a whole topic on this, but I need to talk about your Cowboys, Stephen A. Dak Prescott was left off the Cowboys hype video. We shared that with you a couple days ago. Then Adam Schefter reported both sides are far from a deal. And the icing on the cake was Dak following the Washington football team on Instagram. Raised eyebrow there. By the way, Washington has signed Taylor Heinicke to a 2-year deal. Stephen A., which team do you think should try to pry away Dak from the Cowboys?
I wouldn't mind seeing Dak in the nation's capital, not just because he's a damn good football player who's already performed in the NFC East, but he's also a high character guy. And when I look at what the Washington football team is doing, from Jason Wright being there to Martin Mayhew being your new GM, to Julie Donaldson in communications, what Daniel Snyder has done in terms of addressing the issues of diversity and things of that nature, I think that you've got a fixture at the quarterback position for many, many years to come. Obviously, somebody who'd be highly motivated to succeed based on what or how he's been treated in Dallas, not to mention the fact that, again, they were just in the playoffs, and I think they've got a defense approaching elite status. And so if you can sit up there and get a quarterback that's the fixture in the face of your franchise, and we know that Daniel Snyder would treat him as such, he's the anti-Jerry in that regard, because remember, he treated Robert Griffin III as the face of the franchise even before he deserved it. He was willing to give the same kind of treatment to Dwayne Haskins had he showed up and remembered to be a responsible human being instead of acting like a juvenile. If all of those things had happened in a positive fashion, those guys would have received the ultimate support of Daniel Snyder. It's the one thing that Dak Prescott is craving for, because Jerry Jones says all the right things, but when it comes time to inking a contract deal between him and Stephen Jones, it just seems something they're allergic to doing when it comes to Dak Prescott. They did it for Ezekiel Elliott. They did it for Jalen Smith. They did it for numerous others. But when it comes to Dak Prescott, your quarterback, who, by the way, was fresh off a 4,900-yard passing season with 30 touchdowns and just 11 interceptions coming into this season, when you got a new coach and he was balling lights out before he went down with his nasty, you know, foot and ankle injury, you still are hesitant to take care of him. If Dak Prescott wants out, but he wants to be in a situation where it's about appreciation and building around him, think about Ron Rivera, the head coach, and what he's doing, along with the other pieces that I mentioned. It wouldn't be a bad place for him. I could tell you that.
My answer for this, it wouldn't be a bad place for him, or obviously not for Washington. But my answer, if you say the number one place, is the Patriots. And that's going to be my answer for any top quarterback. But I think especially it applies to Dak Prescott, and I'll tell you why. First, Dak Prescott thrived in America's so-called America's team. Stephen A., we've talked many times about the mediocrity, you bring it up religiously, of the Dallas Cowboys. And that's not supposed to represent America, mediocrity. But the Patriots have actually been America's team over the past two decades. And if you think that Dak Prescott has been good in the kind of carnival atmosphere of the Dallas Cowboys, and he's thrived there. What would he do in the with the professionalism of a Bill Belichick-coached team? That's number one. Number two, this is what's going – like, the question has been the greatest debate of the 21st century in sports. Is it Brady or Belichick? Brady won, Belichick zero. Brady chose a great situation for himself, a loaded team, both sides of the ball, went there, but didn't just make the playoffs or win a playoff game, won the Super Bowl year one. Now, Belichick did a very nice coaching job. 7-9, with 9 defections off the team because of COVID before the season even started, some of his best defensive players. We all know they didn't have offensive weapons, and a rehabbing Cam Newton, who'd missed the year in a completely different style quarterback to the one they're used to, steps in. Not only did they win 7 games, they had a slew of wins against excellent teams along the way to winning the 7 games. And don't forget, they were not only missing players because of COVID before the season, Cam himself got COVID and missed time. And they had to shut down the facility and couldn't practice together in that COVID year. So, yes, I want to see what Belichick can do with a top quarterback. And when I think of Dak Prescott, I think of a lot of the qualities, even though the style's not the same exactly on the field, of Tom Brady. Chiefly among them, Tom Brady seems to elevate any group he's playing with. Dak does the same thing. You even hear things about how Dak can play with third stringers in practice and elevate everybody involved. He makes them believe they can win, and he makes good decisions. So Dak has some of those same qualities. And like Cam, he can run, but Cam didn't do a great job throwing the ball. And maybe he can't throw it like Tom Brady, but he can certainly throw it. I'd like to see what Belichick can do with him. I want to see what Dak can do with Belichick. I want to see what Belichick can do with Dak.
Your argument makes no sense, Max Kellerman. I would think that with me having a couple of days off, the least you could do is entertain me with something interesting. Think about it this way, Max Kellerman. You just are a few days removed from talking about how Belichick lost, how Belichick, the GM, leaves a lot to be desired. You want Dak to go into that particular situation?
That.
You finally, I said it and you co-signed it, I would remind you. Number two. One, not only did you co-sign it, you highlighted some of the specifics. Talking about him as a GM, the Garoppolo, the Jacoby Brissett, the wide receivers that he didn't acquire, in DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, things of that nature. I brought up those names. You co-signed it. What I'm saying to you is that Belichick, you're talking about Belichick the coach. You're talking about Belichick the accomplished coach. I'm talking about Belichick the GM getting in the way of the productivity of Dak Prescott. I wouldn't wish that quarterback situation on anybody. And I'll bring up a point that I haven't brought up in quite a long time. I did bring it up once before, but I haven't brought it up in quite a long time, Max Kellerman. Are we not willing to get to a point now, particularly, and Molly would co-sign this, I believe, have we not gotten to a point now that Tom Brady has won his 7th championship? Who really wants to succeed Tom Brady in Foxborough? I mean, who really wants that task? Who wants that responsibility? Because no matter what you do, no matter what you do, anything short of a championship is not going to measure up to those folks there as well as it shouldn't. I mean, they've been spoiled over the last 2 decades with the level of excellence that he's been able to put forth. Obviously in concert with Bill Belichick to some degree, but as we've learned, give Tom Brady some weapons and look at what he'll do. Bill Belichick didn't do that. That's problematic. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I say, no, the Patriots does not make sense for me right now. Let Bill Belichick, the GM, not the coach, because he has nothing to prove as a coach, but let Bill Belichick, the GM, go out there and prove that what he can do is go about the business of surrounding the quarterback with the requisite weapons needed in order to be competitive, particularly with the Buffalo Bills on the come up, the Miami Dolphins on the come up, okay? I look at it from that perspective, and I say no way should Dak Prescott end up in New England.
First of all, I did not co-sign the fact that Bill Belichick can't do it as a GM. If I co-signed anything, it's that it does raise questions. He's an imperfect GM, and you have every right to highlight that and put the spotlight on it and scrutinize it. But I'm not sitting here saying Bill Belichick is the worst GM. A lot of GMs
didn't say that.
Passed
said
on
what
a lot
he
of receivers in a lot of recent drafts.
We just said what he hasn't done.
Actually,
we just highlighted what
Bill Belichick's record as a GM actually looks very good. The question now becomes, was that Tom Brady? And I think to answer that question, he needs a quarterback. Now, have I ruled Cam out? No. But at this point, Do I think Dak Prescott is an upgrade over Cam Newton? I certainly do. Of course I do. And furthermore, the idea of succeeding a legend, I don't think that would intimidate a guy like Dak. Not Dak Prescott. Stephen A., I think, like, Didi Gregorius replaced Derek Jeter at shortstop in New York, and the fans loved him. He did great. He wasn't the head of the success that Jeter had, but he did great.
And batting
Dak is more than Didi. Yeah, I mean, but that's the kind of stuff Dak does. Dak, listen, think about this, Stephen A., and we've talked about this. During the anthem issue, did Dak Prescott toe the company line, even though it looked uncomfortable for him at times?
Yes.
He did. Dak Prescott is very aware of being the face of a franchise, of his responsibility not only to the team on the field and the fans, but also to the franchise itself, even if maybe their wishes conflict with his. To me, he's sort of the perfect patriot. And I would like to see what Belichick can do with a top quarterback not named Tom Brady, and I'd love to see what Dak can do on a professional team like the Patriots.
Well, Dak Prescott doesn't want to go someplace where he's just another player. And if there's an organization that's virtually guaranteed to treat you like you're just another player, it's the New England Patriots. Because if Bill Belichick doesn't want to, quote unquote, kiss the ring, per se, of Tom Brady, he damn sure ain't going to do it for anybody else. Contractually, we know how many times Tom Brady has taken a pay cut, restructured his contract, et cetera, et cetera. Dak is trying to get paid. Dak is trying to say, I'm a leader of a franchise. I'm a face of a franchise. Right. This is what I bring to the table. I deserve this amount of money, et cetera, et cetera. That ain't going to happen in New England. But Daniel Snyder will do it.
All right, I'll leave you with this. Dak's cap hit is $37.7 million this upcoming season, obviously, because he's playing under that franchise tag. And there's two ways to look at it, fellas. Are you replacing Tom Brady or are you replacing Cam Newton? And then the expectations might be
different. Nobody thinks about Cam Newton.
I got other quarterback news for you, though, coming up here out of Houston. So the latest is this. The Texans president, Jamie Rutes, has stepped down after 20 years with the franchise. Now, keep in mind, the Texans have said they will not trade Deshaun Watson. He, of course, publicly has stated that he wants out. Max, do you think Watson should be worried about this situation at this point?
Not yet. He should not be worried yet. I'll remind everyone, last week, Adam Schefter said that the over-under on teams with new quarterbacks next year is 18. I was shocked when I heard that, and even more shocked when he took the over. The over-under is 18. He took the over. So there's going to be a huge quarterback carousel this offseason. And in terms of musical chairs, the idea that Deshaun Watson, who's probably, other than Mahomes, the number one guy you want, given age, ability, the whole thing, and he's signed to a big deal, but he's worth it, and he's locked up in that deal now. Deshaun Watson's not going to be left without a seat if they're playing quarterback musical chairs. So, and there's plenty of time for all those. Now, if everyone's all set at quarterback, then it's a different story. But even then, you might think you're set at quarterback, and then you have a chance to get Deshaun Watson. Then you're not so set at quarterback anymore because he is most likely a huge upgrade over anyone you have. The idea that the Texans are being intractable and they don't want to trade him, I believe they have to front right now because they're probably not getting offers commensurate with what he's worth. They saw Matt Stafford. The Lions took Matt Stafford, traded him for Jared Goff, and two firsts and a third. So I'll bet right now they're saying the bidding starts at three firsts. And maybe they're not hearing what they want. But Stephen A., eventually, they're not going to be able to say no to the haul that they can get for Deshaun.
Max, if we had to bet our money, we're on the same page in terms of the likelihood that Deshaun Watson will be moved. Because we can't believe the Texans would be that stupid not to move a guy that is defiant, that clearly wants out. And they can take the intractable position all they want to. It's not going to work to their benefit. But when the question is asked, should I be worried? I'm going to say yes, Max, and here's why. Think about this here. You have this guy, Jamie Rutes, who was the president. He has now resigned. Max Kellerman, if you look at this guy's bio, do you know where he went to school? Clemson.
I don't know offhand.
He went to Clemson. Clemson University, Max. So you would think, considering where Deshaun Watson came from, what he did for that institution, how beloved he is by that institution, and Dabo Sweeney
good
and all
point.
Of that, somebody would have went to Jamie Root to say, you know, what the hell's going on here? Are you not taking care of our boy? With him being gone, clearly we've got a situation where something has gone awry, and the McNair family doesn't appear to give a damn, all right? And so when you look at it from that perspective, is it beyond the pale to imagine an organization being so truculent, particularly with a black athlete who happens to be quarterback, who was so thankful in his tearful gratitude towards them for giving them the huge amount of money, living in a day and age where you still have people saying, shut up and ball, you know, whether it's shut up and dribble literally or metaphorically or figuratively speaking, just basically shut up and ball. When you live in an age like that, and it comes from a family whose dad or husband, because Janice McNair is, you know, she's now considered the owner of the franchise. Cal McNair is the president, CEO. The bottom line is this. The father, McNair, God rest his soul, passed away in 2018, if I remember correctly. He was the one that was talking about can't let the inmates run the prison. Those were his words, okay? And it really offended the DeAndre Hopkins of the world and others. DeAndre Hopkins ends up gone. Deshaun Watson doesn't even know about it. This is an organization that appears to not give a damn. And as a result, can I imagine them drawing a line in the sand and trying to be hardcore and potentially willing to sabotage their own selves just to make the point that you won't bully us into making any moves? We'll do it when we're good and damn ready, if we choose to do so at all. Do I see something like that as a possibility? Yeah, I do. Because a lot of times with people in positions of power, they are willing to cut off their nose despite their face just to display the level of control that they have and want to have over you, which, as I told you and many others before, which is one of the reasons why you had people in the streets protesting. It wasn't just because it was a knee on the neck of George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. It's because, figuratively speaking, proverbially speaking, black folks have felt like folks had their knee on our necks since the day we were born. And I don't put it past the McNairs at all to try to display that. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it did happen, I damn sure would not be surprised. And that is why I am not worried.
Well, I'm gonna help your argument out here, Stephen.
Sure,
you must have had an epiphany when you were having your wisdom teeth pulled. So let me just add to that point for a second. I think a very good example of it, of what you're talking about, happened recently on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, the Rooney Rule is so named for Rooney, for the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
Correct.
And yet the power dynamic, because here we're talking about labor issues overlapping with racial issues, because none of the owners are African-American. 70%+ of the players are, right?
Yep.
So there's always that overlap. But strictly as a labor issue, Le'Veon Bell said he wanted a new contract. Steelers wouldn't give it to him. He was willing to sit out a whole season to get to free agency. Now, the Steelers were willing to, they obviously wanted him to play. They made themselves clear they wanted him to play, but they weren't willing to cave to his demands and missed him for the entire season. And Stephen A., Connor did well. He didn't do as well as Le'Veon Bell would have done. And they were really fighting for a Super Bowl that year. Maybe Le'Veon makes a difference. Certainly he makes them better. They were willing to cut off their nose to spite their face. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Rooneys, not Cal McNair and the Texans, very different there. But even the Steelers were willing to do it. And the question becomes, is it a league-wide thing, if not a mandate, where you can't buckle to player pressure that way because you got to keep people in line and let them know who's boss? If that is the dynamic at work, then yes, Deshaun Watson should be worried. I'll just say he has enormous leverage here because not only of the fortunes of a team that he can change because he's so great, also because of the huge package he could fetch the Texans.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I don't think that we go out every single day of our lives and sacrifice the time in order to be average at anything. And we look very average, you know, and we have the talent that the eye test presents that we should be dominating.
A day after Kyrie Irving called his team, quote, average, the Nets responded and beat the Pacers convincingly. That was without KD on the court. A lot of offense on that squad, but the defense, fellas, is what's concerning. Obviously, we've all discussed that. Let's talk about this roster, though. Max, who really is the key player for this Nets team?
Ready for this? How's this for a hot take, mm-hmm. Stephen A? The answer is DeAndre Jordan. He is the key player on this Nets team as currently constructed.
Harden, KD,
DeAndre
Kyrie.
Jordan. Okay. That's right. I said it. That's right. Not to mention Joe Harris, one of the best three-point shooters in the game. Yeah. This is why it's DeAndre Jordan. KD and Harden were balling without Kyrie. James Harden rolled out of bed looking like a hot mess, showed up fat, and he and KD looked great together. So everyone says, oh, Kyrie, that's going to be the issue. But since Kyrie's come back, they're still one of the best offenses we've ever seen. One of the best, and I expect by the end of this year, let me just be very clear, I expect this team to be the number one greatest offense of all time. Three elite players who can get their shot at an elite level and hit it from all three levels, from anywhere. They're going to be the, and Joe Harris. What they need is defense. They haven't been playing defense. In fact, Steve Nash and DeAndre Jordan got into it. Teammates got into it. DeAndre Jordan, for all his size and still at his age, athletic ability, has not been very good defensively, and they need him to be the anchor. I kept saying, Stephen A., since the trade, Jared Allen's gone, right? They're going to have to make a trade for a guy who can grab some defensive boards. Because even if you play some defense, you have a pretty good sequence. If you don't get the rebound, who cares? They got another chance to score. And the Nets really have a problem there. When you're playing Jeff Green at the five, you have a real problem. But DeAndre Jordan, what's he going to do? Give you 12, 15 okay minutes or 20 minutes that aren't so great anymore in the modern NBA? He played real defense last night. Miles Turner didn't do anything. And DeAndre Jordan actually also scored. But the main thing was the defensive presence. When he can be the eraser in the paint for any mistakes, when he has it together defensively and is communicating with his teammates, the Nets actually have the answer they're looking for. We know what we're going to get from KD and James Harden. And on the court, even Kyrie Irving, for all the off-the-court stuff, Kyrie's impossible when he's on the court. Look at him last night. You can't stop him. Joe Harris, one of the best shooters in the league, period. Those four guys, ridiculous. Jeff Green can't play the five and have defense. You're not going to have a defensive unit. If DeAndre Jordan can play like that on this roster, that's actually the key. Because Stephen A., right now, since the Harden trade, they're the worst defensive unit team of all time. Lowest defensive efficiency per 100 possessions of all time. And no team in the last 20 years has won a finals being below 11th, let alone the last of all time. DeAndre Jordan on this roster is the key.
Look, I'm not trying to disrespect DeAndre Jordan because, first of all, he had 12 points, 13 rebounds last night. That's good. He should do something close to that every single night. And obviously, with Jared Allen being gone, there's an elevated level of responsibility that he has to have. I get that. But this team is going where the hell Kevin Durant takes them. It's Kevin Durant. He's the key. Because you're not just talking about his 29.5 points a game, his near 53% shooting from the field, his near 45% shooting from three-point range. You're not even talking about that. We know he's unstoppable. We know Kyrie Irving is just a showstopper and box office. And James Harden can play that point guard spot, and he can deliver. And he's showing a level of selflessness that we are not giving James Harden enough credit for. He's going there. He's fitting in. He's feeding the ball to Kyrie, letting Kyrie shoot twice as many times than him half the nights they play, et cetera, et cetera. It's no problem whatsoever. Let's give James Harden credit on that level. Because this is a guy that averaged 30 over the last three seasons, at least 28 over the last five. But here's why Kevin Durant is the key. Everyone's here because of him. Period. Kyrie Irving's in Brooklyn because of him. James Harden's in Brooklyn because of him. Steve Nash, who has never coached on any level a day in his life, is the head coach of a championship contender with his first job in the coaching ranks, okay, because of Kevin Durant. And, oh, by the way, bless you. And, by the way, not only is he that guy, but let's take this into account as well. He's that guy. You know that he didn't have any kind of defensive background when he was a player. His lead assistant is Mike D'Antoni, who we give all the credit in the world to for his offensive brilliance. But don't get me started with Jamie Foxx imitations about how you got to take the D out of D'Antoni. At some point in time, he's got to figure out that you have to play defense at some time. Okay, that's Jamie Foxx's Cleveland A. Smith. Okay, that's what he said about Mike D'Antoni. We all know this. All of them are there because of Kevin Durant. You were in Golden State. Winning championships, when you lost, it was because you tore your Achilles. Otherwise, you probably would have swept Toronto, as far as I'm concerned, or at the worst, took them out in five games. You depart from there. You don't go back to Oklahoma City. You don't go to your hometown and the nation's capital and play with Bradley Beal or somebody. You don't go to Madison Square Garden. You go to Brooklyn. And everything that is there is because of Kevin Durant. So the onus is on him to bring all of the pieces together, all of them, whether it's Kyrie and whether or not questions, is he going to keep his head on straight? Is he going to just disappear, go AWOL? No, he's not going to do that, all right? But that's what Kevin Durant, James Harden, his selflessness, and whether or not it's going to continue, even though they're stars and they're veterans, is still on Kevin Durant. The coaching. It's your coach. You chose him. You understand what I'm saying? If there was a Rooney rule in the NBA, it would have been violated because they ain't think about anybody but Steve Nash, okay? The bottom line is everything that's there in Brooklyn, even DeAndre Jordan, is because of Kevin Durant. It all comes down to him, and you can't get around that.
KD is going to get the credit for a championship or the blame if they fall short. That is true. KD is the best player on the team. That is also true. And KD is the most important player on the team because he's an MVP caliber player.
So he's the best and he's the most important, but he's not the key.
Miraculously. That's true. The reason the key player is DeAndre, as this roster's currently constructed, is like, let's say they don't make a move by the deadline. Could this roster win a championship? Well, we know what we're getting from KD. This is an argument you frequently make. We know what we're getting from Harden, who, you're right, is an unselfish player. He's unfairly labeled as a selfish player. Look at him averaging fewer points than the other two guys because that's what they need him to do. You know what you're going to get from Kyrie. He can be a knucklehead off the, you know, like say ridiculous things and everything and sometimes dribble too much. But he is a star. He's an amazing player. And Joe Harris, you know what you're going to get. Even Jeff Green, you know what you're going to get. The question is DeAndre, Stephen A., and the reason that's even elevated is if they are, like, even if they get way better on defense, they become the 25th or the 22nd best defensive team. That ain't going to do it. They might not even get out of the East, let alone win a championship like that. There's a good chance they don't get out of the East. They need to be much better. And the key, the guy with the size, the athletic ability, and the defensive chops, at least at times in the past, to get it done, is DeAndre. either he steps up and fills that role they need, or they're going to have to go and get that. And if those two things don't happen, this team is not getting to where they want to go. They won't even get out of the East. That's why I'm saying DeAndre's key. Look what happened last night, even without KD. DeAndre showed up defensively. Miles Turner's a very good player. Couldn't get anything.
Stop. Stop. They're playing against the Pacers. They're a decent team.
They've been losing to teams like that.
They're not scrubbed, but they're decent. They're supposed to handle their business, okay? And yeah, you had a good night because you got trolled for stinking up the joint the previous three games. But that doesn't make him the key player. The key player is the dude that it rests on your shoulders. It's about you. And oh, by the way, let me also get on KD about this. At some point in time, listen, I want to be respectful here because there's nothing to be disrespectful about. But at some point in time, we're going to ask the question about the company KD's keeping. How many COVID tracing issues are you going to have? I mean, damn.
All right.
You're the only one. You're the only one.
Okay.
Hold on, Molly. Seriously, he's the only one, Molly. Who else?
I know.
How many issues has he had, Steve?
They pulled him off the court two times this year. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Well, two times, twice can be coincidence. Three times maybe a pattern. But I hear what you're saying. We're talking about protocol. You should follow protocol.
Yeah, something. Something
ain't. COVID's tricky. I'm not gonna put that.
It's tricky,
all right. He's still leading the team in points per game.
They're telling you can't stop, but you can play and come off the bench.
Okay.
And then they're pulling
right,
you
right.
off the court
Wear
to not
mask,
play.
Wear your mask, wash your hands. We got it. We got it. All right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the wake of the NBA issuing a statement Wednesday reiterating its longstanding league policy that all teams will play the national anthem, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban said during an appearance on ESPN's The Jump that his organization has no problem playing the anthem. Here's Cuban with more.
There was never any final decision that had made that we would not play the anthem. We have no problem playing the national anthem at all. I stand for the national anthem. My hand is always over my heart. We've supported the National Flag Foundation and done work with them. You know, that isn't the issue at all. The real issue is how do you express the voices of those who feel the anthem doesn't represent them or causes them consternation?
Stephen A., what kind of problem does the NBA have here?
I don't think it's that big of a problem. I just think they don't look great on this particular day in regards to this issue. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because the NBA has had a longstanding tradition that they would stand for the national anthem. That has been their position. When we were debating it about Colin Kaepernick in the National Football League, we made it a point to highlight and illuminate the fact that while the NBA, Major League Baseball, and other sports leagues had mandated you stand for the national anthem, in the National Football League, They didn't mandate it. They just strongly encouraged it. And so because that was the reality of the situation, that made us come to the defense of Colin Kaepernick even more, because he clearly was not violating league policy. And we saw that there was a segment of our population that was willing to turn this into an issue of patriotism, yet they didn't turn it into that when Marshawn Lynch and others would sit down for the national anthem. They made no noise about it whatsoever. So they were cherry picking in that regard. As it pertains to the NBA, let me get back to that. What I would say to the NBA, where the NBA looks bad, is this. If it's your policy, it's your policy. Then why wasn't it enforced from the moment that Mark Cuban didn't play the national anthem during a preseason game? This excuse about how there were no fans in attendance and once fans returns, obviously that's something that we're going to do. That doesn't hold water here. Your policy is your policy. And if you had that policy in place from the moment that Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks decide that they would not play the national anthem, all right, with the excuse that there were no fans in attendance or whatever excuse there was, the NBA should have been all over it. They were not. Not only were they not on it for the preseason game, they weren't on it for like the 11 or 12 home games that the Dallas Mavericks have had this season. You didn't say anything then either until it reached the public eye and it gained some steam and some traction. And then all of a sudden, here comes the NBA with this statement yesterday. So it was inconsistent. It seemed to be catering to a particular segment of our populace, which the NBA has really been accused of doing. And so that becomes a bit problematic. And it's always problematic when you say that you have a policy, but then you pick and choose when to enforce it, as opposed to just simply enforcing it, making sure that it's handled, and leaving it at that. But I think that's the only reason that it's an issue. People are divided on this. I heard folks talking yesterday about the issue of patriotism again, not recognizing the fact that for a lot of black Americans out there, this is not old news for us. Even back in the days, you know, in post-World War II, when patriotism was a huge thing and folks wanted to sit up there and have sports leagues and others really implement the playing of the national anthem into the 70s and beyond. You had the black press that elected to defer to Lift Every Voice and Sing because the national anthem they felt was something that was not for black people, based on the lyrics and based on how the country was treating black folks, particularly black military veterans, and how they were getting treated as well. But we don't need to get into all of that, not on this show. What I will tell you is that the NBA, again, I think they dropped the ball, but the only reason I say they dropped the ball is that you had a policy in place. What the hell did you wait to enforce it for? You should have enforced it from day one, especially since Mark Cuban's on the record saying that he spoke to Adam Silver about it, etc. You should have enforced it from day one, and then this would not have been the issue. It is an issue now because the NBA allowed it to be an issue because they deviated from a policy they said they had firmly in place.
No refuge can save the hireling or slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. Those are lyrics in the national anthem that we no longer sing, talking about black folk who defected from the or you know, switched allegiances to the British because they were slaves in this country. Those are lyrics in the anthem. I mean, people have, not just black people, but people with who are socially conscious may object to that, or maybe even they feel that as an American, they can feel and behave as they choose so long as they're not hurting anybody else, right? I'll say this, Stephen A., What troubles me about this is that Mark Cuban claims, and I have no reason to doubt him here, that he did this in consultation. He consulted Adam Silver about this and then continued to not play the anthem, right? And this has been going on for some time, as you mentioned. Marshawn Lynch was sitting. No one noticed it. It didn't become an issue until they noticed Kaepernick was sitting. You bring up patriotism. There is a difference between patriotism and nationalism. Patriotism is loving your country, hopefully, for how it behaves. And nationalism is loving your country no matter how it behaves. And I think there's a big difference there. And we can agree to disagree about that. That's America. The flag itself represents, in my view, your right to not have to stand for it if you so choose. And what bothers me about it, and even the insistence that it's played at all sporting events, and many people have made the point, it's not played before you eat dinner. It's not played, you know, before you go to the movies. It's played at sporting events. It's become part of the sporting culture. But what bothers me about it, Stephen A., is it's a form of political correctness. Usually when people say politically correct, they think of left-leaning politics. And maybe here you might think of right-leaning politics, but it's still political correctness in this sense. The problem with being politically correct and the backlash against it is that people feel rightly that they should be able to express themselves even if it's an unpopular position and even if it's in public. And what political correctness seeks to do, the effect it seeks to have, is to ensure that your public behavior and pronouncements conform to the majority, conform to the prevailing sentiment, and don't challenge it. And the national anthem now has become a form of political correctness, not on the left, but on the right, in my view. Hey, either you're like, we all stand for this, right? Well, maybe not everybody does, and maybe not everybody wants to publicly parrot the mainstream point of view on this, which may not even be, it's certainly not as mainstream as it once was. Maybe they don't want to. The idea that sitting for it injects politics, again, like what should the NBA do? I would suggest, Stephen A., that any sports league that has a policy of standing for the anthem or playing the anthem is in fact injecting politics into sports. Because if there's nothing there, there's no political statement that can be made. If it is there and sitting for it or not standing it or not playing it when everyone else is playing it is a political message, if not doing it is a political message, then doing it is also a political message. So I understand where Cuban's coming from. Let's take the politics out of sports.
Well, that's not exactly what Cuban is saying, because on one hand he says that, Max, but on the other hand he said he would stand for the national anthem. He'd have his hand on his heart. This is the stance that he would take, etc. What he's saying is that he recognizes the fact that it could be perceived as political, but he supports it. But in the same breath, even though he supports it, he understands there are those that don't, and as a result wants to be sensitive to those folks as well, and so he operated accordingly. The point is that when you are under the umbrella of an entity the likes of the NBA, whether it's the NBA, the National Football League, Major League Baseball, or anybody else, they have a right to impose whatever policy they see fit to this level. And if you choose not to be somebody who wants to be who wants to capitulate to that, then you have a decision to make and ramifications to deal with in the event that it goes against their grain. What can't happen, in my estimation, is the inconsistency. We work for Walt Disney. There are policies that Walt Disney has in place. There are policies that ESPN has in place. And what I have religiously stated is that, excuse me, okay, the policies are the policies, but make sure they're enforced across the board. You don't enforce them with some people and don't enforce them with others. If the policy is consistent, then everybody has a decision to make and they know what they're signing up for or they know what they're signing against or refusing to capitulate to. And it's cleaner that way. The NBA looks bad today to answer this direct question because the NBA had a policy in place that it ignored for a period of time, which illuminates a level of inconsistency that I don't think they wanted.
I think that's a fair point. I think that's a fair point, an important point to make. What I would say is I would also stand and put my hand over my heart, as I probably you would. I would assume that we both would.
Correct.
When the national anthem is played. But that doesn't mean, and as Mark Cuban would, but that because when I stand and do it, I'm thinking about the ideals of this country. But sure. I would respect someone who says, yes, but the behavior, until the behavior conforms more closely, hues more closely to the ideals, I don't want to stand. And Cuban's saying the same thing.
Gentlemen.
So just not playing, he doesn't have the issue. But now the NBA has the issue.